Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we're continuing our study of what we're calling mysteries of the Bible. We're seeing basically areas that the Apostle Paul called mysteries, because as we look at them, he'll say the mystery of this or the mystery of that. But what we know a mystery is, we've seen a definition, I've got it for you there, a truth that was hidden in the past, not made known in the past, but is now revealed. So it's something that had not been made known in Old Testament revelation, you might say, but is now being made known in New Testament revelation. So that's the bottom line. This morning we're seeing another mystery, two lessons. The first two lessons, we saw mystery of the gospel, and then we saw last week the mystery of Jesus as God and the mystery of Jesus indwelling, that kind of thing. This morning, our study deals with the mystery of the church. And you notice I've got it this way, the mystery of the church, Jew and Gentile together. But when you think about the church, there are actually two mysteries that Paul connects with the church. And there are two areas, I've got them here for you. First of all, the fact that the church is made up of both Jews and Gentiles, which is one body. So that's the mystery of the church. There's also another one, the fact that the church is the bride of Christ. Those are both mysteries. Now, the real reason that anything connected with the church is a mystery is because the church is a mystery. The church itself was not made known in the Old Testament. We'll talk about that more as we get through it into the study again this morning. So we realize God's Word was given in a progressive revelation. Revelation was added as time goes by, never contradicting, but adding to what He's already said. We understand the church is called the body of Christ, that this whole idea of the church was not made known in the past, but is now revealed and made known and clear by the Apostle Paul. So we'll have some good things as we go through it, those facts. Bottom line, Jew and Gentile together in one body was a mystery, and that the church is the body of the bride of Christ is also a mystery. Those two things, we'll see them as we go through. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for these believers, Lord. What a fun time we have as we come together to worship our Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we think about mysteries, we realize that they're not something that we can't know, but they're things that have already been revealed. And for us, they're not really mysteries. They're things that you have revealed in the New Testament, and that I pray that we know and understand them. We realize that our goal, of course, is to be stewards of the mysteries that you have given so that we can tell them to other people and they can understand how they fit together. So, Lord, we ask you that you would teach us. We ask you, Lord, that as we study the mysteries, especially today about the church, that you would help us to put it all together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was living in Starkville, that was before I went to seminary, when I was living where Mississippi State is, I worked for this special man. He was a Christian. He was known not only to his friends that he was a Christian, but to everybody. In fact, what he did is he was known in the workplace as a Christian. He had this office building that he had his office in it, and then he had other offices in it as well. But the name of the building was Koinonia. That was the name of the building. And so if you ask, where is the office? He'd say it was in the Koinonia building. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship, and that was the idea of communion and partnership. And when we think of our lives as believers, we realize that we're in communion, we're in partnership with each other, and that we need each other. We realize that we're together in ministry. I mentioned this, in fact, talked about it in Sunday morning, and in fact, we'll see it. If you've already been in church and we've seen the passage about David and that, you understand it. If you haven't been there yet, if you're going to be in the second service, we'll talk some more about that. But there is a partnership with other believers, and our union, our bond comes because we're in the body of Christ. I mentioned this in the first service as well. When a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, when they trust in Him for eternal life, they're placed in the body of Christ, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So every one of this room who have trusted in Christ, and I hope and pray that every one of you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in the body of Christ. You've been placed in there. We take that for granted, that the idea that we, Jews, Gentiles, all put together. But I want you to understand, this is this first mystery we're going to look at today, the mystery of the Jews and the Gentiles in one body. And that is strange, because when you think about it, you go back to history, and we're going to see it in just a minute. We'll see how it ties together, that the church was not made known in the Old Testament, and it certainly was not made known that Jew and Gentile would be placed in one body together to do ministry. That was not made known as well, and that's what we're looking at. That's why it's called a mystery. Well, there are a number of places in the Bible. I don't know. Did we get I don't know if we got the slide in there that has the eight mysteries. Do we have that one? No, we don't have it. I guess he didn't get it in there. I didn't put it down on your sheets because I'd done it for the last 3 or 4 weeks, but there are the eight mysteries, or the eight places that we had listed for you on what we're going to talk about as the mysteries. I was just going to review those, but we don't have to review them. Let me go ahead and remind you of what we saw last time. Here's the first one. As we've been looking at these mysteries, there are a number of those mysteries we found in the Scripture. By the way, at the top of page 2, I've got 1 Corinthians chapter 4:1, and that says, we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. I just want you to see that. We are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. That's when we do a study like this, we could say it this way. Do we know the mysteries that are found in the Bible? The answer is yeah. Are they mysteries to us? The answer is, well, not really, because we know about the church. We know about the body of Christ. We know about the Jew and Gentile together. We know about the bride of Christ. We know about those things. But the Old Testament didn't. That's why when Paul records them, he says these were mysteries, things that were not made known in the past but now revealed. Well, in 1 Corinthians 4:1, it says, moreover, that we want people to regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We're accountable as believers to help other people understand these truths. So that's why we're teaching this, and this is why this ties together. What we saw, if you remember, we've seen for the last 3 weeks, here's number one, this is the first mystery, the mystery of the gospel of Christ. And the fact that it was Jesus was the Messiah who died and rose again. When we say the mystery of the gospel itself was not a mystery. What exactly is the gospel? It's found in 1 Corinthians 15. What is the gospel? The what? It is the good news. What is it? Christ died and rose again. That's it. Now, the word Christ is the same word as Messiah. It is no secret or mystery that the Messiah would die and rise again. In fact, you go to the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 says he's going to die. Psalm 16:10 says he's going to rise. So the mystery of the gospel is not that the Messiah would die and rise again. The mystery of the gospel is that it was Jesus who was the Christ. That's why Acts 17:3 says that. In fact, Acts 17:3 says, this Jesus who I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ. So that's the idea. That was the first mystery. Then last time we saw the mystery that Jesus was God in the flesh. An amazing thing. It was not a mystery that the Messiah was God, because if you go to Isaiah 7 and Isaiah chapter 9, we find easily that the Messiah is God. But the mystery was, is that Jesus of Nazareth is God in the flesh, that he's the Messiah. And that's why that passage in Colossians 3:9 says, in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in a bodily form. And we spent a good bit of time last week looking at the idea that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And I raise the question, I just want to remind you again today, when Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and became a human being, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived on the earth, he died on the cross, he paid for sin, he was buried, he rose again, he was resurrected in what kind of body? Human body? A glorified body that will not ever decay? Jesus is where now? Right hand of the Father. Does he have a body? Yes, he does. He will always have a human body. It will be what we call a resurrected body. We, every one of us in this room, when Jesus Christ raises all human beings from the dead, both believers and unbelievers, they're going to have bodies that will last forever as well. Some will live forever separated from Jesus Christ. That's called the second death or the lake of fire. And some will live forever with Jesus Christ. That's called eternal life. So the great truth is that Jesus was God in the flesh. That was the mystery. Then there was the third one that we saw, the mystery of Christ indwelling. One amazing thing, and this was not told anywhere, that the Messiah would actually live inside of people. And Colossians 1:26-27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that Christ actually lives inside of us. So those were the first three mysteries that we saw, and I have them for you on your little sheet, and you don't have to put any notes down or whatever you want to do, but here comes the fourth one. And the fourth mystery is the mystery of the church, which is Jew and Gentile together. Now, let's think about this, because we need to get some background. Let's start this way. You go all the way back in the Bible, and you go back to the very beginning, and God created Adam and Eve, and then there was the fall, and the people, and then the flood, and they came over, and you got these people. And at that time, there's only one people group in the whole world. We would call them, Gentiles. And then at a point in time in history, Genesis chapter 12, God chose a man. A man that we might call, he's going to be a Jewish man, that's how we might call him. And he took this man named Abram and told him to leave the place that he was living. He was living in the Ur of the Chaldees. He was to leave there, cross over the Tigris-Euphrates River, go to a land that God would show him. And then when he got there, God gave him this land, gave him a land, a seed, and a blessing. We call those the Jewish people. So at that point in time, from that time on, Abraham and his descendants were called a number of things. I've got it for you right here. I've got blank, the blank, one who crossed over. The Hebrews, if you want to write that in, they were called Hebrews because the word Hebrew means the one who crosses over. He had crossed over the Tigris-Euphrates River to come to that land. So they were nicknamed the Hebrews. Second, they're called the blank, which is the Israelites, which is Jacob's other name. The descendants of Jacob, Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of what? Israel, because Jacob's other name was Israel. Jacob means deceiver. Israel means prince of God. God changed his name. The last name is called the Jews, which is from the tribe of Judah. After the nation of Israel split into two parts, Israel in the north and Judah in the south, the nickname for the people in the south became known from Judah as Jews, and that's carried on. So when we talk about this people group, you could call them Hebrews, you could call them Israelites, you could call them Jews. They are God's chosen people. Now, at that stage, then there's two people groups on all the world. They're the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, which we call the Jews, the Hebrews, the Israelites, and then there's the Gentiles. Now, as time went by, you know, God set the Jewish people apart at the time of Moses, gave them a Mosaic law, set them apart, gave them certain foods to eat, certain things, made them a unique and peculiar people, as he calls it. And all the way through, the Jewish responsibility was to proclaim the one great God and the Savior and the Messiah and all of that. Now, suddenly at a point in time in history, Jesus Christ came. John, Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son. And at a point in time in history, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here's Jesus. And of course, that's part of the mystery that Jesus Himself is God in the flesh and all of this. And there He is. And He came into His own, John 1:11, and His own did what? Received Him not. He came to His own people, offered Himself as the Messiah and Savior, which if anybody in the whole world should have recognized Him, it'd be the Jewish people, because the promise from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David, and yet they missed Him and rejected Him in a sense. He came into His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in His name. That's John 1:11, John 1:12, all ties together. So here's Jesus, and he begins to tell something that nobody knew about. It was in Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus was talking, and He said, Peter, what do they say about this? And they talked in this, and then He said, Peter, upon this rock I will what? Build my church. And they all went, what did He say? What did He say? What was that? Church. We don't know what the church is. They never heard of the church. Because if you go to the Old Testament, all of the prophecies for a nation of Israel and the first coming of the Messiah and the second coming of the Messiah and the kingdom. But there was no prophecy concerning what we call the church, which is, what's the other name of the church? The body of Christ. He said, I will build my church. That was the first mention of it. And the mystery that we find is that the Jew and the Gentile are together in one body, which is called the church. Now, the word church, it comes from a Greek word. It comes from two Greek words, ek, which means out of, and kaleo, which means to call. So it's put together as one word called ekklesia, coming together, which means the called out ones. That means both Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior are called out of the world into a unique relationship with Jesus Christ and are placed into the body of Christ. That was a mystery. Nobody ever heard this. Nobody knew this. Paul writes about it. They began to understand it a little bit. That's why in Matthew 12, I got right there, Jesus said, I will build my church. This mystery, both Jews and Gentiles, would be together in one body. So there's a dual mystery here, and that's why everything dealing with the church is going to be a mystery. Because, first of all, church had never even been told. If you go back to Daniel chapter 9, this is not even part of your notes. I just thought about this to tell you that if you go back to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Daniel actually gives information on when the Messiah is going to come, when he's going to die, and he gives information about the tribulation and the Antichrist and the second coming. Daniel gives all that. And he gives it in his order. But guess what? He talks about the Messiah coming and dying and rising again, and then he goes directly into the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the second coming. What happened to the church? He didn't know about it. It wasn't even revealed. If you'd gone to Daniel and said, hey, Daniel, can we talk to you for a minute? You left out the church. Daniel would go, what church? What are you talking about? Is not revealed in the Old Testament. That's why it's the mystery. The mystery that we're seeing this morning is that the Jew and the Gentile are together in one body. Now, as Jesus died and rose again, walked on the earth, walked on His earth for how many days after He died and rose again? 40 days. He met with his people. He taught them about things. And then they even asked questions like, is this now going to be time for the kingdom? He said, no, it's not for you to know that, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, whole rest of the world. That's your job. And he said, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait for power on high. I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? What was it? Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? The Holy Spirit's going to take those believers and place them into the body of Christ. Now, I want you to understand something you may have never known. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something to do with charismatics. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when believers, when a person believes in Christ, they are placed in the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and those believers were placed in the body of Christ. And what we find is any time a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, the moment they believe, they are placed in union in the body of Christ, whether they are Jew or Gentile. That's the mystery. Now, if you remember at the very start, when Jesus sent them all out, that he ascended, ran on to heaven and said, y'all go, and they were getting ready to go. But you remember, they were Jewish. What are they going to do about these Gentiles? See, in their mind, we're Jewish, we're the main folks, we're the believers in Jesus, but these Gentiles, we don't know what to do about them. What's supposed to happen? They're supposed to tell them. Do you remember when Cornelius was a Gentile and he got this vision that told him to go send for Peter and he will tell you how to have life and have eternal life and how to be saved? And so they send word to Peter and Peter goes and he gets there and his first statement when he sees these people, because God told him in a vision, go. And on the way there, Peter began to realize that God said, you know, Jew and Gentile, there's no wall there. We all come together to be in the body of Christ to serve. And so by the time he got there, they're all up there and everybody's happening. He says, by the way, first of all, you understand that as a rule, it's not good for a Jew to come into the house of a Gentile. But God's been showing me something different, that we're really supposed to be in this thing together. And so the mystery is Jew and Gentile together in one body to carry out the ministry of the church. Let's see what Paul has to say. We'll go through it quickly. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 1 through 6 where Paul talks about it. And we got time. If you got questions, comments, input, just stop me as we're going through it and say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? And make sure you understand it and see how it fits together. And here we see this. Chapter 3, look at verse 1. Paul says, for this reason, I, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now, verse 1, he starts off by saying he's a prisoner and he's prisoner of Christ. He's in prison when he writes that. And he says, this is for the sake of the Gentiles. He's writing this to the Gentiles so they can understand how it all fits. See, not only did the Jews have some misunderstanding, the Gentiles had misunderstanding. And let me tell you, if you talk to Jews or Gentiles in that day and time, they didn't deal with each other. In fact, Samaritans, which were Gentiles, well, they were actually half Jew, half Gentile, but they were considered Gentiles in that sense. You remember when Jesus sat down at the well and the woman came and he said, would you give me some water? And she said, why do you even talk to me? Because you Jews have nothing to do with us Samaritans. Y'all don't talk to us. We don't deal with each other. Now he's saying, not only do we deal with each other, we believe in the Messiah and we're placed in the body together to serve together. That's why the passage this morning and Sunday morning in the 1 Samuel passage that we talked about, how everyone in the body is vital and important, because you are. Everyone is connected in the body with the gifts, talents, and abilities and to be used. And so he says, I'm writing to the Gentiles. And then he says, if indeed you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. He says, I have the responsibility to teach you stewardship. As Paul says, I get to go to the Gentiles. And then look at verse 3. By revelation that was made known to me, the mystery that I wrote in brief. He's talked about it before. He's talked about it in other aspects. But this is going to be the mystery. Now, what is this mystery? He's going to get specific. And he says, where specific should be about verses 4 and 5. He says, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was in other generations not made known to the sons of men, which has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific. And here exactly is the mystery, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise of Christ, Jesus through the gospel. The mystery is that Gentiles come in with Jews and are connected. Now, if you would ask any Jew throughout history from Abraham on, are you God's people and do y'all have special stuff to do for God? What would the answer be? Yes. But at this time, if you ask Gentiles, are you God's people and you have special things to do for God? They would go, I don't think so. And now they believe in Jesus as Savior. So not only the Jews who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and the Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, they come together to form this body. He says this is the mystery. The mystery that the Jews and the Gentiles are together and that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers. In fact, in verse 6 where I have on your sheet, it says fellow Gentiles are, and you can put down fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. This is on the page that's got verses 2, 3, and then says specific. Gentiles are fellow heirs. That means they got the same inheritance. Jews and Gentiles have the same inheritance now. Because we're the body of Christ. The second thing, what are we? Fellow what? Fellow members of the body. What's the body? Does anybody know where we are? Did I lose somebody along the way? Are we okay? Okay, everybody knows where we are because some have this look like, where are we? And I'm going, I know where I am, but I just want to make sure you know where we are. The second one is fellow members. They're fellow members of the same body. And then the third thing is they are fellow partakers of the promises. Now that's powerful. If a Gentile believes in Jesus Christ, does he still a Gentile? Yes, but he also becomes what? The church. If a Jewish person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, is he still Jewish? Yes, but he becomes part of the church. See, one of the misconceptions is some Jewish people have heard that if you believe in Jesus as Messiah and Savior, you're no longer Jewish. That's wrong. The church is made up of what? Jews and Gentiles in one body. Look what he goes on to say, and I want you to see this because you'll have to go back to Ephesians 2 to see this. Just flip over to your Bible back to Ephesians 2, and I want you to see how this fits together so you can see how beautiful it is. He says, therefore remember that formerly you, and he's talking to the Gentiles, you were called uncircumcision by the circumcision. And then he lists a bunch of things about them, how that they were separated from God and all that. I just don't want to have to take the time to read all that. But notice verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, he's talking to the Gentiles, you who are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He says, now you're brought together. But together with who? With the Jews. Notice verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. What groups? Jews and Gentiles. What was the thing that divided the Jew and the Gentile the most? What was it? Say it. It was the law. Exactly. That's why Christ is the end of the law. Why are we under the Mosaic law? A Jewish person who believes in Jesus Christ is the end of the Mosaic law? No. The law has been, the dividing line has been moved away. Notice what he says. For he himself is our peace, verse 14, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself, in Christ, he might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man. What's the new man called? The church, establishing peace, and he would reconcile them both in one body. What's the body called? The church, the body of Christ. This was the mystery. Now, it's not a mystery to us. Now, some Gentiles may not really understand that we ought to be trying to reach Jews for Christ just like we're trying to reach Gentiles for Christ. And some Jews who are believers, they usually grasp this because they've understood, they've trusted in Christ and now in the body of Christ. They still realize they're Jewish, and their goal, many of the Jewish believers' goal, is to reach other Jewish people. But the bottom line is the mystery. The two become into one body. That's why 1 Corinthians 12:13, all believers into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:27, the body, the church is the body of Christ. Now listen to this. There are three groups today. At the beginning, from Adam and Eve up until Abraham, how many groups were there? up until Abraham, before Abraham, there was one group, Gentiles. From Abraham all the way up to now, they were up, to, not up exactly to now, but there were what? Two groups. From Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and the forming of the body of Christ, there are now three groups. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 says, give no offense either to the Jew, the Gentile, or the church of God. So that's how you see it. Every one of us in this room who are Gentiles, when you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're still a Gentile, but now you're in the body of Christ. You're the church. And everyone in this room who might be Jewish and you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still Jewish, but now you're in the body of Christ. And so the mystery, the church, the Jew and the Gentile together in one body. So we're the church, the body of Christ, and we want to make that mystery known because there's a lot of people who don't understand how all that fits together. Let me give you applications very quickly. We'll just see it and then we'll open up for questions. The first one, no one understands the various mysteries found in the New Testament. As you go through the studies in these weeks, if you miss lessons one or two or whatever you need, come by the office or just let us know and we'll get you all the sheets and all the handouts and everything. So no one understands these mysteries because we are responsible to proclaim the mysteries. Number two, realize that the church, the body of Christ, was a mystery. And then I think under that, we've got a couple of things. A, understand that both the Jews, you don't have to write down every word on this. Put it down in your own words. Understand that both the Jews and the Gentiles are together in one body to proclaim Christ. We're together in one body. That was a mystery. I'll give you just a second to write. No, well, B, you can just remember Jew and Gentile together. Let's be faithful to take the truth of salvation to our community. Let's just be faithful to share it. There are people out there, whether they're Jewish or Gentile, that do not understand the way of salvation. And let me tell you this, there are people who hear things and it's not even accurate. We have the grace message, the message that Jesus died and rose again and whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. There's the third one, and that is, let's maintain the unity of the believers since we're in one body together serving our Savior. If you, we're studying the book of Ephesians on Sunday night, and the whole idea is maintaining the unity of the body. Listen to this. I don't want you to write anything down. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says this, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, keep this unity. And then he goes on to say, because there's one body and one Spirit and one hope and one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and Father. It's one. So as Peter was on his way to Cornelius, and he knows that he's the church now, the body of Christ, and he's been placed in there, and all those believers on the day of Pentecost were placed in there, and he's on the way to see this man named Cornelius, and he knows Cornelius is not Jewish. He knows Cornelius is some Roman soldier guy, and he knows he's a Gentile, and all the way there, that dream that God gave him about everything's clean now. They're all together. He gets there and says to Cornelius, God's been showing me that we're all in this thing together. And he gave him the gospel. And Cornelius and his family believed in Christ. And immediately they're placed in the body of Christ. And let me tell you something quick. Peter comes back from that. Some Jewish Christians come up to him and they say, what do you think you are doing going to those Jews? Going to those Gentiles? You're not supposed to go to those Gentiles. And Peter said, God told me to. He said, God said it. In fact, then Peter says, what we realize, we are saved in the same way Gentiles are saved. He didn't say it. Gentiles are saved in the same way we are. He says, we are saved in the same way they are. One body. Now, it's not a mystery to us that the body of Christ is together with Jews and Gentiles, but it was a mystery to them. And we need to understand it so we can help other people know it. Let's pray and we'll open up for any questions. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the passage and thank you for these truths. And as we see this mystery that you, in your grace and mercy, have brought together in one body, both Jews and Gentiles, all who believe in Jesus, we are the body of Christ, we're the church, and we have the great privilege of making known the truth of Christ in this community and helping people grow. Use us, Lord, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.